This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Monica Brain. The election is less than a month away. A record number of women are running, so much so that some are calling it the Year of the Woman Part 2. In 1992, after the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas hearings, 47 women were elected to the House of Representatives, and the women serving in the Senate went from 2 to 6. Today, we're asking, how is the national conversation about sexual assault and misconduct playing into this year's politics? Are you satisfied with what you're hearing from women candidates this year? Do you know the women who've decided to get political now because of sexual violence and discrimination? And has all of this changed your mind on how you're going to vote? That's our conversation today. Give us a call and share your thoughts. Everyone is welcome to weigh in. The number is 277-5866 or tweet us using the hashtag Let's Talk New Mexico. Joining us here in the studio is Antoinette Cedillo-Lopez. She is a consultant and former candidate for Congress. Welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So before we get into the big question about the election and everything like that, let's talk a little bit about why you chose to run. You recently ran for office.
Yeah, I ran for Congress. Well, after this president was selected by the Electoral College, I was running in Enlace Comunitario. I was executive director. And Enlace Comunitario is a domestic violence agency that serves all, of course, but our target outreach is Latino immigrants. And what happened was our clients were afraid to go to the courthouse because ICE almost immediately had started showing up at the courthouse after this president went into office. And so I got I got domestic violence and sexual assault agencies organized, and we sent a letter to the Supreme Court and asked the court to stop letting ICE detain people at the courthouse. And the media picked up on that, and so I was on television And I was also quoted in the newspaper, and people started asking me to run for Michelle Lujan Grisham's seat. And I talked to Michelle Lujan Grisham, and she encouraged me. In fact, what she said is, we need somebody with a deep understanding of the Constitution. I had been a law professor for 27 years prior to running Enlace Comunitario. And so I decided to offer myself up, and I did.
Well, that's a great story, Antoinette. Thanks for sharing that. I want to add another voice to the conversation. On the phone, we have Merritt Allen. She's executive director of Vox Optima and a former candidate for New Mexico House District 22. Welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico, Merritt.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. Now, I know you normally live in Albuquerque, but you're just on a business trip in D.C., which is why you're joining us by phone today.
Yep, I travel a lot.
I want to pose the same question to you. Why did you recently choose to run for New Mexico House District 22?
Well, I guess I would say my story is a lot less activist, perhaps a lot more old school. I'm the daughter of a lifetime public servant. My mother, Diane Hamilton, was on the Board of Regents at Western New Mexico University, then was a state legislator for Silver City for 18 years. I moved back to New Mexico after my military career about, 13 years ago. And I immediately, started, expressing interest in what was happening and interest in the legislature. I considered running in 2010. The time wasn't right for me with my business that I just started, and I just started a second business. And I really hadn't put too much thought into 2018. And then Representative Jim Smith called and said he was not going to run and suggested that I run. And so I decided to go ahead and run. So I've been focused just on kind of the incompetency. Unlike Professor Cedillo-Lopez, I'm not looking at statewide office. I'm looking at state legislature. So I'm not as focused on the national issues. I just would like to see some competence and accountability return to New Mexico so we can operate our agencies and fund them so that they can be effective and deliver the services we need in our state.
Thanks for sharing that, Merritt. And today we are talking about how the recent allegations of sexual misconduct and sexual assault might or might not be affecting this election season. If you want to get in on this conversation, you're invited. Give us a call. The number is 277-5866. Or you can tweet us using the hashtag #LetsTalkNewMexico. Antoinette, do you think things like the Kavanaugh hearing and the Me Too movement will influence this election?
I do. Almost everyone I talked to, every woman I talked to, was really angered by the hearings. And they're very motivated. They're very motivated to get involved, whether it's volunteering for campaigns, volunteering for different projects, social service projects. Volunteerism is up. I myself became the president of Casa Fortaleza, which is a sexual assault agency, and I'm very proud and happy to do that because right now when women are coming forward with their stories, and to be honest with you, I was shocked at how many women. I'm also a survivor, but I was very alone with it. I didn't share it at all. And so I was really shocked to see how many women have experienced sexual violence, sexual assault, domestic violence. It was stunning to me. It's a public health problem. And so women are seeing that they're not alone and that they're going to do something about it and change it. And we need to.
What was it about the hearings that that made you angry or made the women that you were speaking with angry?
Well, it was really clear to me that Kavanaugh was drank a lot in high school, and so it was unbelievable to me that he didn't black out or the story to me hung together. Dr. Ford's story was just very, very believable. His story was less believable to me, and to see all of the Republican men apologizing to him and making it seem like he was the victim. When he was so angry, I mean, I thought to myself, what if she had behaved the way he behaved and she demonstrated that level of anger? They would have escorted her out. I mean, it was the difference was amazing. And the fact that they didn't believe her. And I just think it's more believable that he blacked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sexually assaulted her.
Well, I want to give a chance for our listeners to also weigh in and share your thoughts. What are you thinking about this election? Give us a call, 277-5866. Merritt, what about you? Do you think that things like the Kavanaugh hearing or the Me Too movement will influence this election?
Well, I think the Democrats have been wildly successful at politicizing hashtag MeToo for their benefit, because I too believe Professor Ford. However, I think the optics, I think the Republicans completely got suckered in. I think Antoinette is right. The optics were terrible. I was appalled. I'm a Republican. I was going in supporting Kavanaugh when he sneered like a teenager to Senator Klobuchar, when he tried to make us believe that it was legal for him to be drinking at age 17. To me, those two outbursts disqualified him from service as a Supreme Court justice. And so we have such a culture now that politics is not about compromise. It's all about the win. I think the Republicans made a tactical error because they won the battle. They got their nominee, and now they've got, to me, a tainted candidate and a tainted justice. And I think the Republicans really got snowed. I think what the Democrats did to Professor Ford was unconscionable. I think leaking her name to the Washington Post was disgusting because that is not what she signed on for. She wound up as much as Kavanaugh and his family came under the media microscope, so did Professor Ford. And that was all at the hands of the Democrat congressional staff. And I think that's really a shame because it's not there's so much more important things our Senate should be doing than this.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't want justice to be prosecuted in any sense. But this was so, to me, outside the realm of what we want our Congress to be doing. I found it very upsetting. And I think the movement also on the moderate side on both parties, those are the voters who are going to decide this election. And I think it is opening the door for moderates and for independents.
Merritt, what are you hearing from your Republican colleagues about, you know, how this all played out and whether or not it's going to change their behavior when they go to the polls?
I'm not hearing that it's going to change any Republican votes. The background I'm getting is quite, I think the more shrewd conservative observers, and I've heard this from them, agree with me that the optics on this were terrible and the Republicans were truly snowed, and it will hurt Republicans. I don't think it's going to change Republicans, but it could change swing voters. But, you know, one thing I was talking about this kind of in preparation with some of my work colleagues yesterday, and one of my female colleagues pointed out something very interesting. The seriousness of the events at that party, notwithstanding, this is a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, and had charges been filed, we still wouldn't be talking about this 30-some years later. And it was a juvenile offense, which is very, I think, very different than some of the other Me Too moments, both in Congress and in the private sector. You know, it's a little different from Harvey Weinstein. It's a little different, very different from Dennis Hastert, which was truly abominable. Mm. So I also just think in the context of the time and place, it's a shame that it was escalated and manipulated and exploited by politicians to divide the country in this way.
Well, what do you think? Give us a call. The number is 277-5866. And Merritt and Antoinette, I want to put this conversation in some historical context in a minute. But first, let's take a call. We've got Sarah in Albuquerque. Hey there, Sarah. What would you like to share?
Yes, I feel that the women Democratic voters will turn out more this election. You know, we're trying to counteract the effects of Donald Trump by trying to take over the Senate and the representative. And I think that we're going to have a blue wave. But we have one place open to vote right now, 1500 Lomas, the annex. And the phone number to call is 243-VOTE.
Sarah, voting advocate, Sarah, thank you so much for giving us a call from Albuquerque. We appreciate that. And I want to especially invite both Democrat and Republican and Libertarian listeners to weigh in and give us a call today. You know, is your voting behavior going to change? Because are you going to change who you're going to vote for? As a result of what you're seeing, how these hearings played out, or even the Me Too movement. And, you know, we've seen more than just Harvey Weinstein being removed because of this. There's in journalism and all across a variety of areas, we're seeing a number of individuals stepping down because of their behavior. What do you think about that? Give us a call, 277-5866. And Antoinette, you wanted to share something?
I think Merritt made a really good point about, I think this is really going to affect people, the moderates and independents. And so I'd be real interested in hearing from moderates, independents, libertarians, people who are sort of the not standard bearers, to see how it affected them.
Yeah, absolutely. You can also tweet us with the hashtag Let's Talk New Mexico. And Merritt, we're just about to head into a break, but I just want to give you a moment if there's anything else that you wanted to respond to with what has been shared.
Well, sure. I think I too have experienced certainly inappropriate behavior in the workplace, in my personal life. So this, I don't mean to diminish at all by noting that this has been dramatized and politicized by the Senate Democrats. This is a thing, if you want to put it in millennial speak. This is a thing. Misogyny is a thing. Sexual harassment is a thing. Sexual assault is a thing. And it's just, it's awful to see it politicized. I think the Republicans have really had a blow strike against them, and it's unfortunate. And Professor Ford should not have been the victim of that.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Monica Brain. Today we are discussing how this current midterm election is maybe being influenced or not influenced by things like the Kavanaugh hearing, by the Me Too movement, by a national spotlight on sexual assault and sexual misconduct. Give us a call at 277-5866. We're going to go to a short break. We'll be right back.
The law firm of Rothstein Donatelli is committed to supporting KUNM. Since 1976, the firm has litigated Native American law, criminal defense, wrongful death, and civil rights in New Mexico and nationwide. Info at rothsteinlaw.com.
Support comes from New Mexico Tech, presenting Socorro Fest October 5th and 6th on the Plaza. Music by Hotel California and G's Louise, plus a chili cook-off, car show, and Trinity site, Very Large Array, and Hamel Museum tours. Info, socorronm.org.
Take a break and join me down by the river for a moment of quiet, musical contemplation. The water babbles over the rocks, a whippoorwill sings, and the breeze is gently whispering through the trees. Music by William Grant Still, inspired by a river, on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
You are listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Monica Brain. Have the high-profile sexual assault and misconduct cases in the news influenced the way you're voting this year? Would you like to see your elected officials make some changes when it comes to how sexual misconduct charges are handled? All opinions are welcome. Give us a call. The number is 277-5866, or you can email us at letstalk@kunm.org. On the phone, we have Mara Allen. She's the executive director of Vox Optima and a former candidate for New Mexico House District 22. And here in the studio, we have Antoinette Cedillo Lopez. She is a consultant and former candidate for Congress. And let's go to the phone lines. The phone lines are lighting up. Let's head on over to Tom in Albuquerque. Hey there, Tom. What would you like to share?
Hi there, ladies. I just wanted to put a little bit of a male perspective on this situation, and I just need to let everyone know that, you know, women have not had a chance to vote for that long, so why give them a reason to do anything at all right now? And that's why I'm voting for Steve Pierce, is just because I believe that women belong in the kitchen and not really, like, on the radio.
Oh, okay. Tom, thanks. Thanks for sharing your opinion. Merritt, I want to give you a chance to respond to that. Anything you want to share for Tom?
Oh, I think that was a great Lujan Grisham spoiler call. I mean, that was pretty lame. I don't think anyone really believes that. And I certainly don't think Steve Pierce believes that. But thanks for trying, Tom. That was clever.
Antoinette?
Merritt, you haven't heard people that believe that? That's amazing to me. Merritt, I also wanted to respond about the point that you made that you think that Dr. Ford was manipulated. She chose to do that. And she chose to do that because she felt it was her civic duty. And the thing that was interesting to me that has happened since then is women all over the country have written thank you letters to her. And one of the things I see from my law professor listserv is a lot more women are putting together courses and syllabuses on sexual assault and incorporating it into their courses because they're feeling inspired by what they've seen. And they're also seeing that it affects so many more people than they thought. So I think Dr. Ford did a great service, and I don't think she was manipulated. I think it was hard on her, but she decided to do it.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Merritt. Anything else?
No, absolutely. I agree. It was hard on her. And she did not want her name released to the media. She came and asked for anonymity. And someone from Senator Feinstein's office leaked her name. And when the press contacted her, she was forced. She decided to come forward. And I don't think that was fair.
Let's take some calls. It's 277-5866 if you want to get in on this conversation. Let's go to Victor in Albuquerque. Hey there, Victor.
Yeah, just kind of three things. It was unfortunate you got an unfortunate call a second ago. But anyway, first of all, in reference to Christine Blasey Ford, I kind of think she might not want attention, but she might get Person of the Year from Time Magazine. I think that's a real good chance. Two is the spin-off of all this thing. I have a friend that I graduated from Highland many moons ago, and he lives in Arizona. And second, with Trump being elected, I've become more and more potty-mouthed. We talked to each other for a long time, become more potty-mouthed. But because of that, last Friday, me and my dog, we went down to and made a donation, never done it, to Deb Haaland for $100. I'd never done that in my life. And then last but not least, I think I have talked to different friends. As much as I don't like Trump, I think the only positive thing to come out of it is that you see so many more women galvanizing and running for office. And just like, you know, you have the governor, two congressmen. I think that's the positive thing to look forward to the future, that more and more women are becoming involved in our national politics. And like President Obama said, and I'm reading again profiles and Curry's, that, you know, politics, I mean, democracy, you can't stand back. It's not a spectator sport. You have to participate. And so that's my comment.
Victor, absolutely. Thanks. Thanks so much for sharing that. And do you think that democracy is not a spectator sport? Are you planning on voting this year? And if are things like the Me Too movement influencing the way that you vote? Give us a call. All opinions are welcome. 277-5866. Let's go to Alan in Albuquerque. Hey there, Alan.
Hi. I've got a proposal for all the white men that are listening. I think we should start an organization of white men talking to white men about white men.
And what would that serve?
I think the problem is with white men, especially rich white men.
What would they talk about?
They talk about what their attitudes toward women. And, you know, and reveal themselves, expose themselves for what we are or what we have been.
Wow. I mean, is the ideal goal to work on sexism, their own sexism in these and racism in a group like this?
Well, it seems like that's the problem. The problem being white men, especially rich white men, they're out of control and have been ever since. God, I don't know how far back. I'm thinking about literally starting a movement, trying to start a movement which addresses that. And I love the title. I think it's really appropriate. White men talking to white men about white men.
Alan, thanks for giving us a call from Albuquerque. We appreciate that. And Merritt, any response to our callers?
Well, not really. I think, I know it's very common in talk radio in New Mexico for campaigns to gin up callers. I'm not quite sure what Alan meant. I'm married to a white male who might be considered at least solvent. And we have the unusual situation of a mixed marriage. Not only is he not Catholic, he's not Republican. And so I'm pretty sure the liberal Democrat I'm married to would take some umbrage at Alan's comments.
Merritt, that must be an interesting dinner table talk going on in your house, having a Republican and Democrat. Do you ever sort of agree to disagree, or do you have to like table things so you can't continue?
Oh, after 24 years, we have to. And so typically during an election year in the fall, each one of us gets one pot shot per evening, and then we shut up.
Well, Mary, thanks for sharing that. I want to talk a little bit about the historical context to this conversation. You know, we're talking about what's happening right now, but this is not happening in a vacuum. And Mary, you were in the Navy, which has had its own sexual misconduct scandal. It was called Tailhook. Can you talk a little bit about that experience? I know you weren't part of that, but how it changed the Navy?
Absolutely. And thanks so much for bringing that up, because I was in the Navy for 8 years. I have a lot of friends who are Navy women. And Tailhook completely changed the face of the Navy, and it put gender roles in the worst type of political polarization. There are so many lessons learned from that that I hope we don't repeat in 2018, although I've seen some of them. And the first one is quite simply men deciding that they're victims of a witch hunt when no one's ever said anything about them. That's exactly what we saw in the Navy, and it's toxic. But just a quick background, I left Silver City to go to college on a Navy ROTC scholarship, left college to go to the Philippines, which is one of the wildest spaces in the Navy. I got to my first duty station in July. I turned 21 6 weeks later. 2 weeks after that, Tailhook happened, which was a large convention of naval aviators in Las Vegas, and just a lot of drunken misbehavior. The change in 1991 is suddenly we had enough female naval aviators, we had enough women who were part of the hosting crowd, that when they saw this behavior and were sometimes the subject of some of this drunken misbehavior, they spoke out. And it was it escalated to the congressional level. It impacted the closure of major naval bases. And I found myself as a 21-year-old equal opportunity officer, which shows you how much importance the Navy put on it then by giving it to somebody who'd been out of college 10 minutes, giving them that billet. I worked with a 26-year-old female staff judge advocate. She was the lawyer for the base. And we had to complete an 8-hour training stand down about awareness about sexual harassment in the workplace. And the materials we got, and this is so long ago, this is 1991, it wasn't even, you know, a file, it wasn't a disc, it was a package of transparencies that we put on overhead. And we wound up filing, you know, through them and throwing stuff out and trying to make it relevant. And what we came to, and I'll wind up a long narrative simply by saying, we came up with, if you're about to say something or do something that you wouldn't want a spouse, a parent, a sibling, a child, or even your best friend to know about, don't do it. Just don't do it. It's simply setting a line for appropriate behavior. And it's not gender, we don't want to be gender specific. We don't want to call people out. We just want people to behave well. And that's how a lot of women in the Navy felt. The backlash was painful. Women were integrated into naval aviation in some ways as a result of Tailhook into combat aviation, which was great and should have happened. But the political undertones made it that much harder for women to be accepted, because there are a lot of men who felt they were being forced down their throat. Mm-hmm. And so and we see, you know, the shift from 1991 to 2018, and we have women in combat roles like infantry and ranger school. That's very different. In the Navy and the Air Force, war fighting is marksmanship from afar, like a plane or a boat. In the Army and the Marine Corps, it's grunt physical force, and women are doing that, and women are excelling at it. So it's a tremendous lesson, but it's one that took 17 years to evince. I want, in the Me Too movement, I want things to be faster, and I want them to be less messy. And I think it starts with rejecting the him to movement, the notion that every man who steps out of his house is a potential victim. That's an absolutely histrionic false narrative. And we men and women need to reject that.
Antoinette, you've been a law professor for a long time. You know, I'm sure that you witnessed what was happening with Anita Hill. Maybe you can give some historical context to that and how it compares to today.
Well, you know, I was so worried that that this would happen, that it would demonstrate that we hadn't come that far since the Anita Hill hearings. It happened that I lived in Washington, D.C. in 1982 when Clarence Thomas, I believed Anita Hill, when Clarence Thomas was engaging that behavior. And in 1982, one of the things I noticed was that men were just like that. If you're a young woman in Washington, D.C., you literally felt like a piece of meat and the way you were treated. So I really believed her. When I saw those hearings as a young law professor, a relatively young law professor, I was so outraged that I became more involved in the community and got involved with organizations that worked on issues like this and actually got involved politically, because I felt that women need to be at the table. And so just as Merritt talked about, there was a group of women who were appalled by the behavior at Tail Hook. That's what it took to have some consequence. And that's what I believe is really, really important, is that we get women at the table when not only issues of sexual assault are discussed, but all issues, because they will bring a different perspective and make our decisions richer and better.
Mm. Merritt, I've talked to you in the past about when we use the term women's issues. What do you think are some issues that that are particularly pertinent to New Mexico women?
In the context of this election, in the context of my focus, which was New Mexico state operations, if you will, I think it's education, I think it's safety, I think it's economy. And I think those issues are largely the same regardless of gender. I think at a national level, it is a little more polarized, and you have some very different issues, and I think that men and women have different views on them, particularly as you get further left or further right. I would again say I think the moderates are going to decide this election, and it's who offers the best solutions to the most immediate problems in our nation, not extreme solutions or legislation for longstanding that would repeal or change longstanding practices.
What about you, Antoinette? What are you really focusing in on in this election? What are key issues for you?
Well, for New Mexico, education is just absolutely crucial. And I think it also relates to women, because that's where a lot of this socialization happens, the socialization that allowed those young boys at that party with Dr. Ford to behave that way. And so I think that education is one of the primary issues affecting New Mexico. It affects their economy. It affects how people do. And so I think that's the number one issue. But I do think there's a women's element to it. And I'm going to be looking for that.
It has for you, I mean, have and looking at these the hearing and things like that, I mean, you're a lifelong Democrat. Is any of your voting behavior going to change because, or what you're, how you're choosing to vote going to change?
Probably not. I was definitely on this path and has been on this path for a long time. My father used to say, Republicans are for the money and Democrats are for the people. And that's why I'm a lifelong Democrat. But I think that Merritt's right. This is going to be the moderates and the independents who are going to look at this and think about a direction that this country should go through. And I believe that we're going through a cultural shift, and cultural shifts aren't easy. We went through a cultural shift in the 60s, and there was a lot of violence, a lot of anger, a lot of pushback. And I think that's the same thing we're going to go through now. And it's not going to be easy. But I think that with a lot of focus, we're going to come out of this all right in a stronger democracy.
You are listening to Let's Talk New Mexico. Our conversation today is about how the Me Too movement and the allegations of sexual misconduct that have we have a recent spotlight on how they're affecting the election. Do you think that the election outcomes will be different as a result of these things? Give us a call, particularly the moderates out there listening. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from everybody. Give us a call. The number is 277-5866. We're going to go to a short break. After the break, we'll talk more with these folks.
Sexual assault allegations against U.S. Supreme Court Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh started a national discussion on the difficulty victims face in coming forward. We're bringing that discussion to our electronic talking circle. On the next Native America Calling, we'll hear from Native women about the challenges of talking about sexual assault.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
It's October. The balloons are ascending. Your old car or truck can be ascending, too. Ascending into radio waves, that is. When you donate that unwanted vehicle to KUNM, we tow it away and handle all the details from there. KUNM gets the proceeds. You get a KUNM membership, just as if you had sent us cash, and your car gets to live on as great radio. It's easy. Call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
You're listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. Are you fired up for this election year? As you head to the polls, how much does the national conversation about sexual harassment and assault influence the way you vote? Call now. The number is 277-5866. Or you can comment on Facebook. Search for KUNM Radio. We've been talking with Merritt Allen. She's executive director of Vox Optima and a former candidate for New Mexico House District 22. Also, here in the studio, we have Antoinette Cedillo-Lopez. She's a consultant and former candidate for Congress. And I want to add one more voice to the conversation. Now let's check in with Margaret Wright. She's a freelance journalist, and she recently did several profiles of candidates. Okay. Actually, let's take some calls. We've got James in Harris. Hey there, James.
How are you doing this morning?
Good, good. James, what do you want to share?
Well, I just, you know, one, the empowerment of women and seeing this happen and seeing people realize that, hey, it's okay to come forward. It's okay to draw attention. That's important. And you can't let naysayers negate that or politicize it. And I guess that's my biggest point, too, is the politicization of everything is half the problem. It shouldn't be about Democrat, shouldn't be about Republican. It should be about right or wrong. And I just want to put that in there for people to think about that when they head to the ballots. It's about right and wrong. It's not about party.
Thanks, James. We appreciate it. Let's go to Will in Harris.
Big day for Harris.
Yeah. We're just go through all the Harris calls.
I want to make a comment about Merritt's campaign for District 22 out here. A lot of us, me and my friends, thought that in her primary, she got... sort of typical, or forgive me for saying this, it seems to me typical of Republican dirty tricks played on her, and that it had a sexist overtone, that somehow it was okay to make these what seemed to us entirely false allegations about her because she was a woman. I don't know whether she even felt that happened to her, and certainly whether she felt it was because she was a woman, but I think there is, at least among the Republican guys I know, and I know a bunch of them out here, there is a kind of anti-woman backlash, people saying we ought to have Title IX for men, et cetera, et cetera. But that was an observation out here, that she took some low blows, and it had buried in it because she was a woman. I'd like to hear her comments on that.
Yeah, thanks for that, Will. And Merritt, any response?
Yes, and I think you're right. And I think my favorite was a blogger, a conservative blogger, who sued in the legislature with my mother in the same caucus, who decided to promulgate these lies. And I called him on it, and I noted his misogyny, and he said, don't be a victim. And I wanted to say, well, if you're not a misogynist, there's no victim, you moron.
Do you think that there is a problem within the Republican Party of misogyny or sexism?
No, are there Republicans who are sexists? Yes. I think there are also Democrats who are sexist. So definitely, though, the good old boydom. And I think we can agree in New Mexico, good old boydom transcends both parties. Absolutely, because quite simply, my primary opponent spread lies about me, having never met me. And when I tried to correct the lies, in fact, he manipulated video of me appearing on New Mexico in Focus to make me say the opposite.
Yeah.
People were willing to believe that. And he told them a story. He told people a story they wanted to hear very cleverly. And I couldn't compete against that lie. So,
Mary, I just want to point out, though, that we don't have them on the show to defend themselves. And so we'll leave it there with that conversation. I want to continue our conversation about the election right now and how we feel that the Me Too movement might be influencing that. Let's try Margaret Wright again. She's a freelance journalist, and she recently did several profiles of candidates for New Mexico Political Report. Hey there, Margaret.
Hi there. I'm back. Sorry about that.
That's fine. I know that you are traveling today. So you ran a series of profiles on the candidates that you were able to talk to. A lot of your questions focused on issues of reproductive justice. Can you tell us a little bit about why you chose that particular area to talk to candidates about?
Well, my reading of the political climate right now is that religious freedom and bodily autonomy are both going to be pretty key issues, both of which I think were on display with the Kavanaugh hearings and the Me Too movement. I think there's a lot of things about discrimination and harassment in the workplace, equity in the workplace, as well as reproductive health care access, and all of those issues are salient in every election, but I think particularly in this season.
And what did you hear from the candidates on some of these things? Who were you able to speak to, and what was shared?
Sure. It was an interesting range, in part because I found it pretty difficult to get candidates, both Democratic and Republican candidates, to respond. I was able to, after some pestering, to get Michelle Lujan Grisham and Lieutenant Governor candidate Howie Morales on the record on some of these. I didn't have any success with candidate Representative and Republican Steve Pierce and his Lieutenant Governor running mate Michelle Garcia Holmes. I also, unfortunately, wasn't able to hear from either of the congressional candidates from New Mexico's Southern District.
And I know you spoke with Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson as well. What did he share about addressing sexual assault in New Mexico?
He said one thing that was interesting was I wasn't sure if maybe he was conflating the Me Too movement with other kinds of broader crimes, sexual crimes like sexual assault. But he said that he was heartened by the Me Too movement and that he hoped that it had a meaningful effect on levels of awareness, which he said were at this point unacceptable, and that he was optimistic that past, because exact words were something about past transgressions might be the people who had committed them might now be brought to full accountability.
Interesting. Well, let's squeeze in a few more calls, and there's still time if you want to give us a call, 277-5866. Sylvia is in Albuquerque. Hey, Sylvia, thanks for holding.
Thank you. Yes, I want to make sure that we all understand, and actually some of us learned, that 2020 is the centennial of women earning the right to vote in the United States. It took 72 years of struggle, during which some women died, to get our voices in the Constitution in the 19th Amendment. So I really want to stress to women, but also to everyone, that voting is a right and a privilege, and that we should all go out to vote for the fair and just world we believe in.
Thanks, Sylvia. Let's go to Antonia in Los Alamos. Hey there, Antonia.
Hi. I'm actually a mother of of two adult children, and I want to just let people know what I've learned. And one is, when you're 17, you make mistakes. And as you age, what you should learn and what your mom and your parents should teach you is that mistakes don't make you a bad person unless you don't take responsibility and try to make them right. And that's what I didn't hear from Brett Kavanaugh or a lot of male politicians is, I screwed up. I'm not that person anymore. I believe in second chances, but I also believe in making my former actions right, or at least trying. And that's all I've got to say.
Thanks so much.
That's a nice point.
Yeah, let's take one more call. We've got Gene in Albuquerque. Hey there, Gene.
Good morning. I want to thank you for the program and say you asked the question about has it changed your voting? It hasn't changed my voting, but it got me off my chair and out helping canvass for a candidate I believed in who will affect the issues. My question to your guest is this. What about the administrative and legislative things that we need to do in New Mexico to face these issues? I hear about not the money for the rape kit testing that's apparently been solved, but specifically, what would you have the candidates face regarding these issues and do administratively and legislatively? Thank you.
All right, thanks. Antoinette, we'll start with you.
Well, Governor Martinez eliminated the Commission on the Status of Women, and I think reinstating that would be a really good idea. I think because we're going through a cultural shift, that it's really important that we work on preventing these kinds of behaviors. And so I think because I see it as a public health problem, I mean, worse than smoking, because it's so prevalent and it's so devastating to the survivors of these kinds of assaults, that we should get on a campaign so that engaging in this behavior is viewed as horrific and not just business as usual by boys. And then I liked the comment of the last commentator where she talked about admitting and taking responsibility for what you do, for your transgressions. And so I think if we can, as a government, be part of the solution to these problems, we can really go far. And I think it'll make this cultural shift a lot less painful.
Do you think that it's just the government's responsibility, or are there other factors in play to make this shift
that
you're talking about?
Well, a true cultural shift will involve all of our institutions, will involve our schools, will involve our churches, will involve individuals. I actually think that the person who was talking about white men talking about white men, I thought that was a really interesting approach, because I think nobody talks about these issues and nobody calls them. I think young men are socialized, not all young men, of course, but there's a socialization process that makes men think that this behavior is okay. In fact, they have competitions about this behavior. Competitions about, you know, how far they can go with a girl, those kinds of things. And if we can change that, that's going to be really profound and prevent a lot of victimization and a lot of pain.
Merritt, do you want to answer Jean's question?
Sure. I think there's a lot that can be done, but I think just some systemic problems we've had in New Mexico, the fact that an ethics commission, a legislative ethics mm-hmm. commission, had to go to voters, I think that shows some of the problems we still have with transparency and accountability in our government. I think there are issues that affect the status of women that perhaps we're not thinking of as directly. I still can't get over our food stamp, our SNAP program issue, where we may be owing millions of dollars back for incredibly poor administration of the program. And if you are keeping people from getting assistance, you're affecting women and children disproportionately. Also, I think equal wage. I love that Albuquerque passed their equal wage laws, ensuring gender equality across wages. I think that'd be a great thing for the legislature to take on.
And Margaret, did you were there any particular issues that some of the candidates that you talked to brought up that you really, you know, sort of resonated with you that you thought were significant?
Well, one issue that I was really eager to talk to both gubernatorial candidates about was to what extent they might expand or adjust our state's sex and health education standards. Michelle Lujan Grisham said that she was motivated to use federal dollars for age-appropriate comprehensive sex ed from kindergarten through high school. I'm disappointed that I wasn't able to hear from Steve Pierce on that issue. But I also wanted to mention something that's been a corollary that's been stuck in my head, which was a letter I received from a reader who mentioned that one thing nearly all adult women have in common, despite whatever ideological or partisan differences, is workplace sexual harassment. And it's something that this reader said that she was sad to see that representatives on both federal and state levels, although they have said that they're many of them, some of them say that they're motivated to make changes when it comes to combating sexual harassment and discrimination in government agencies, very little to no action has actually been taken at this point.
Well, we're getting close to the end of the hour. Antoinette, I want to ask you about this title, The Year of the Woman, or The Year of the Woman Too. What do you think about that?
I think there are so many women running all over the country that I think it is. It's going to be the beginning of a shift, and I'm really excited about it. And it was exciting to see so many women win their primaries around the country. And I think that things are going to change. As I said, it's part of this cultural shift, so I'm excited about it.
What about you, Merritt? What do you think of the phrase, the year of the woman, too?
Well, I'm not a fan of sweeping brands or sequels, if you will, but I think it's certainly true in New Mexico. No matter what happens, we're going to have two members of Congress who are female, and I think that's fantastic. I also want to put note on Margaret's, I think, notes of non-response from candidates. I think that's a real problem addressing Jean's comments, is candidates and politicians are almost afraid to say what they really think or what they think is right. We've gotten into such a polarized culture, and saying anything the least bit controversial, you know, opens you up for just absolute pillaring, particularly online. And it's a shame when someone who's trying to do a real survey and get real information, like Margaret, is unable to do so because of the fear we have.
Well, Merritt Allen, thank you so much for joining us today from Washington, D.C. Also, thanks to Antoinette Cedillo-Lopez and Margaret Wright. Unfortunately, we've reached the end of our hour, but the conversation doesn't have to end here. You can email us at letstalk@kunm.org or use the hashtag letstalknm on Twitter. Leave us a comment on Facebook, KUNM Radio. And if you missed any of our show today or you'd like to share it with your friends, you can find audio of the show at KUNM.org or subscribe to our podcast. On the next Let's Talk New Mexico, we'll take a look at how immigration issues are playing into the 2018 election. Marino Spencer is our engineer. Bryce Dix screened our calls. May Ortega live tweeted the show. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. Thanks to the D Numbers in Santa Fe for our theme music. I'm Monica Brain, and this is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.